Before we start this episode, we have a quick message from our sponsors.
If you're studying for the Foreign Service Officer test like us, we have a great study tool for you.
Besides listening to our podcast, we also use FSO Compass.
On FSO Compass, you can find practice tests for every section, comprehensive courses that guide you through the entire application process, and you can even connect with other aspiring U.S. diplomats.
The resources have really helped us prepare, and we hope they help you too. To access FSO Compass and get 10% off your annual subscription, be sure to use the link in our description box.
Good luck!
Hi everybody, welcome back to another episode of How Did We Not Know That? My name's Jack.
And I'm Nat.
And today, Nat has a very sensitive topic. Maybe it's not sensitive, I don't know, that we're going to talk about today.
Compared to other topics, let's see. I guess it's sensitive in the sense that we are going to have to try a little extra hard to talk about this topic in an unbiased way, because as our listeners know, Jack and I try to let you guys know about these historical events without our own, like, biases influencing you guys. Before I let you know what my topic is, I want to tell you why I chose this topic. This is the first episode for, this is my first episode that I'm doing for the new year, 2022. So I was reflecting on my life, and so I decided to look up, like, exciting events that had happened in the year I was born, which is 1998. So let me give you a quick insight into what the world looked like at this time. So in 1998, a lot of big things happened. So Google was founded, like Google the company. There was the assembly of the International Space Station begins. There's the Good Friday Agreement, which Jack covered, the conflict between North and Southern Ireland. And then we also had some really tragic events that happened in 1998. So we were in the middle of the very gruesome Yugoslav wars. And then there were also the terrorist bombing attacks on two U.S. embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam. So this is what the world looks like at this time. I think many listeners who were alive during this year think of 1998 as the year of the President Bill Clinton impeachment scandal, which is what we are going to be talking about today. Yeah.
I just watched his masterclass.
Yeah, I finished it too.
He doesn't mention it.
Yeah, funny he didn't mention his impeachment.
I was waiting for it the whole time because I watched both Hillary and Bill's, and I was like, is it going to get juicy? But no, it did keep it pretty professional.
I imagine that's probably not the platform to go into it. So my question for our listeners for this episode is, how many U.S. presidents have been impeached? So, Jack, do you know the answer?
I want to say four, but I actually think it's less because I feel, maybe it's just one. Because I think many have had trials and then they step down before they get impeached.
Okay. Cool. All right. Okay. So that's your guess. And then I'll let you all know the answer towards the end of our episode. All right. So President Bill Clinton, he had kind of been under investigation as soon as he took office. And it all began with an independent counsel conducting an inquiry into a land deal that he and his wife Hillary Clinton conducted long before he took the presidential office. So back in the days of when he was the governor of Arkansas, and Hillary and Bill Clinton were never charged for any misconduct on this specific land deal. However, this initial inquiry really expanded it. It expanded from a land deal to an investigation into President Bill Clinton's personal life. And this case specifically started to expand when Ken Starr takes over the investigation. So he is the man who comes over and leads this investigation. And so in the midst of this Starr investigation, S-T-A-R-R. So in the midst of this investigation in 1994, Clinton was also accused of sexual misconduct in a lawsuit by Paula Jones. And so she sues him for sexual misconduct, and this begins a multiple year long lawsuit. And so this is kind of when this land deal investigation changes route. Side note, Paula Jones' lawsuit leads to an important Supreme Court decision in 1997 that makes it clear that a president can face a civil lawsuit while in office, because before that, it wasn't really clear if you could sue the president, but you can. And yes, so during this wide investigation, Ken Starr, he is approached by a woman named Linda Tripp, who is a former White House secretary. And she was friends with another woman named Monica Lewinsky and had recorded their private phone investigations. And so it is ultimately during this case where President Bill Clinton is asked during a grand jury proceeding about the Monica Lewinsky affair. So, Jack, have you heard the name Monica Lewinsky before?
Yeah. I didn't really know much about Monica Lewinsky before my adulthood.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even now, probably many young adults like our age have probably heard the name Monica Lewinsky. They probably don't understand the full picture, and their image of her has been, the media definitely did a number on Monica Lewinsky, to say the least, which we are going to get into how the media personified her and how they basically just the rhetoric around this whole relationship between her and the president. But before we get into that.
I had a question. How did they record their conversations?
We'll get into that. Okay. That'll be mentioned at a later point. Okay. I'll be getting into detail about Linda Tripp as well. So Monica Lewinsky is a former unpaid White House intern. So let's not forget, during all of this, she was an unpaid intern. So in November 1995, President Clinton began an affair with Lewinsky, which ensued for a year and a half, roughly. In 1996, Lewinsky was transferred to the Pentagon, and at this time, her relationship with the president has ended. And it's that summer, the summer of 1996, that she starts to confide in her coworker, Linda Tripp, about her relationship with the president. And then the following year, in 1997, is when Tripp begins to secretly record all of her conversations with Lewinsky, where Lewinsky is giving Tripp details about the affair. So the initial recordings, were secret recordings.
And Tripp, she doesn't sound like a very good friend.
So Linda Tripp has obviously spoken out about her decision to record the conversations. She justifies her decision to record these conversations, saying that she was really angry with the president's behavior, and her intentions were to expose the president's misconduct rather than expose Lewinsky. In December 1997, Lewinsky is subpoenaed by the lawyers of Paula Jones. Let me clarify what subpoena means. It's like when you're being sued, if you get subpoenaed, that's like the lawyers are saying you have to give me some information, and like you don't have a choice. You have to provide the information they're requesting. You can't just say no. Okay. So Lewinsky is subpoenaed by Paula Jones' lawyers. And just a refresher, Paula Jones is the woman who is suing President Clinton for sexual misconduct.
Okay.
And in January 1998, allegedly under the recommendation of the president, Lewinsky filed an affidavit where she denies ever having a sexual relationship with him.
Whether or not
the president influenced her decision is like, you can, yeah, form your own opinion on it and look at the, I guess, what the investigation reports during the trial. But yeah, that's kind of what it is eventually debated.
Wow, in the impeachment trial. What's an affidavit?
It's like, I guess it's just like a legal statement. It's like a statement that's legally binding saying, yes, yeah, like, this is what happened. 5 days after Lewinsky files this affidavit, Linda Tripp contacts the office of Kenneth Starr, which is like where we started this whole thing at. And she then tells Starr about Lewinsky's affair with the president and presents him all the tapes she had made of their conversations. And he's like, oh, interesting, because she just said that they didn't have a sexual relationship. And then she's saying, here is all of our conversations talking about their relationship and the details of it. And so Tripp is then wired. Like, she's got a secret wire on her clothes. She's wired by FBI agents who are working with Starr. And then she meets up with Lewinsky again. And remember, at the time, Lewinsky just thinks that Tripp is her friend. And, like, she's the only person she's confided to mm-hmm. about this relationship. And they meet up. And on January 16th, Lewinsky is taken by FBI agents and U.S. attorneys to a hotel room where she is questioned and then offered immunity only if she cooperates with the prosecution. So this, I can't imagine how startling, how horrifying, how like surprising that must be. Yeah. Like, you're meeting up with your friend and then all of a sudden you're whisked away by all these scary people, and there are a lot of threats being made, like, if you don't comply with us, you're gonna go to jail, you know, that.
Yes, but why,
you know,
is
and
she
you
going
don't...
to jail? Because she lied under oath?
Yeah, because she lied under oath.
Okay.
So they're saying, hey, we have this affidavit saying that you didn't have a relationship, but here's all these tapes where you're saying you do. You did. And then a few days after this, the story breaks. And, of course, it's all over the news. I mean, it's a sex scandal. So, you know, everyone is very excited to learn about it. And, like, everyone's very curious. Maybe excited is not the right word, but, like, curious. And, like, it's, people see it as, like,
it's
entertainment.
Yeah,
you know, it's gossip. And so President Clinton publicly denies the allegations, and this is where the famous quote comes from.
Yeah,
he says,
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Monica
Miss Lewinsky. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
see, I didn't know that much about the trial, but I know the audio clip, like, word by word, except for the end.
Yes. And, like, the cadence of it, I think everyone has heard that clip.
Yes. Because,
like,
you know, it's
times.
Used a lot when people analyze if you can tell someone's lying, and they say you can tell he's lying because he separates himself from Monica Lewinsky. Usually you just say, I didn't sleep with her. But he uses, like, a longer way to kind of separate himself and, like, address her as Ms. Lewinsky.
Yeah, know. He doesn't use her first name. And he refers to her first as that woman.
Ah, like, yes.
That woman, Ms. Lewinsky?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so also imagine, okay, remember, Lewinsky is, how old? She's 22 at the time. Mm. Imagine being 22.
22.
That's a year, I mean, that's a year younger than me. But, like, yeah, she's 22. And then the entire world, like, it really is, like, the entire world is talking about her because it's the leader of the free world, and then this huge scandal. Yeah, and then, like, I mean, obviously, she's a White House intern, and then she was working at the Pentagon. Like, she has this very successful future ahead of her, and her entire future is ruined. Like, her name is synonymous with scandal. Images that, yeah, scandal, yeah. And, like, the image that, like, what the media portrays her as is not kind at all. Again, we're going to get into that. And then what do you do? Like, the whole world's talking about, yeah, that's just really, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I truly can't imagine.
I'm like, because it's really, like, a woman roughly our age. I can't imagine the amount of resilience you have to get through an experience like that. Additionally, like, she's on trial, so on top of just the media coverage and, like, her reputation, her image, she also has to go to trial and testify. So on August 6th, Lewinsky appeared before the grand jury to begin her testimony, and then later, on August 17th, President Clinton also testifies. So, contrary to his testimony that he provided in the Paula Jones sexual harassment case, when he said, no, I don't know this woman. I mean, I know her, she's an intern, but, like, we didn't have a sexual relationship. In this grand jury, when he's testified again, President Clinton acknowledged to prosecutors that he had an extramarital affair with Miss Lewinsky. And so in 4 hours of closed-door testimony, which was conducted in the map room of the White House, Clinton spoke via closed-circuit television to a grand jury in a nearby federal courthouse. So he's, like, testifying before court, but they're in separate locations for safety. Mm-hmm. And in this four-hour testimony, basically, the heart of this case is whether or not President Clinton lied under oath when he said, I didn't have sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky. And Clinton argued that he wasn't lying because his definition of sexual relations is very different than what the prosecutor's definition is. And so because of this, the testimony has to get into very intimate, very graphic details about every encounter the two had ever had.
Oh, no.
Yes. Like, and I'm sure, like, listeners have probably heard some of the details. And so, yeah, everything is exposed, like, yes. And I'll get into
these details. Wow, I really should ask my parents what that was like. This would be really a lot of news to happen. Because
this
point.
Is like the whole, like, it takes the whole year too. Like, this is what 1998 is, like, known for. Mm-hmm. So that evening, President Clinton also gave a 4-minute televised address to the country where he admits he engaged in inappropriate behavior and in an inappropriate relationship with Lewinsky. And it's a very brief speech. And, of course, he and his staff had to be extremely careful with, like, the words he chose to describe everything. And, like, it's very, like, technical, like, thinking of every way that it could be legally interpreted, you know? So the word sex was never spoken. The word regret was only used in reference to his admission that he misled the public and his family. So he's not saying he regrets the relationship with Lewinsky, because that kind of leads to, like, that can be inferred as an admission of guilt. But so he's saying, I regret that, like, or not that I lied under oath, because then that also is an admission of guilt. But he's saying, like, that he misled the public, like, his family, that he wasn't completely honest with his public, with the public and his family, but he's not saying that, oh, I lied under oath, or, oh, I regret this relationship. It's very technical. And so less than a month later, on September 9th, Ken Starr submits his 453-page report and 18 boxes of supporting documents to the House of Representatives. So this outlines all of the testimonies about the relationships between Lewinsky and President Clinton. So again, this is like open to the public. So everyone in the whole world can go through and read the nitty gritty details of the relationship. So I can't imagine just the embarrassment and like the like invasion of privacy that goes
Wait, they
along
released
with that,
the
like,
reports, so everything they had to tell. Are you allowed to do that?
You can, yeah. And it's actually like, if you want, you can read the Star report. Like, it's public information. You can Google it right now, and you can read the whole report. So his impeachment isn't about the affair. It's whether he lied under oath. That's why they had to be.
I've always been confused on this. I even remember in high school someone mentioned it, and they said Bill Clinton got impeached. They call him, like, Slicky Dick Wilson? Is that what it is?
Or Slick Willie? Slick Willie.
Something like this. I don't know.
So this report and the supporting documents are known as the Star Report. And so it outlines a case for impeaching President Clinton on 11 grounds. This includes perjury, which is lying under oath. Obstruction of justice, which means he is, like, interfering with the investigation. Then you have witness tampering, abuse of power, and providing... Oh, and then it also, of course, provided explicit details of the sexual relationship between the president and Lewinsky. And so, this is how impeachment works, because it's really confusing. And the term impeachment, like... People think that impeachment means you're removed from office, but that is not the case. So the Constitution gives the House of Representatives the power to impeach an official, and then the Senate is the court for impeachment trials. So how it works is based on the findings of a House committee or an independent panel, the House Judiciary Committee can draft and approve articles of impeachment. So In President Bill Clinton's impeachment case, the findings were from an independent panel, the Star Report. And so they draft, they're saying, hey, he can be impeached for these separate 11 reasons. And then the articles go to the House floor for a vote. So if the articles are passed by a simple majority, the matter moves to the Senate. So all they have to say is like, do we want this to continue to trial? Like, do you think this should be sent to trial? And then if you get a simple majority, it goes to the Senate. And then so at this point, though, they're voting on whether the president should be impeached. So if it passes the House, the president is impeached, but he's not removed from office yet.
I'm confused on what the point of impeachment is, though, because you might be getting to this, but I thought Trump was impeached twice, but it seems like nothing happened. Is he planning to run again? So what is the point of anything?
So that's the thing, is like, impeachment just means that the president is going to trial. So if the impeachment vote fails, then the president never goes to trial. And the trial determines, like, do we think that the president should be removed from office? So impeachment is literally just saying, like, should we have a trial to see if he should be removed? And so we'll get into other presidents who have been impeached. But, yeah, so once, if it does go to the Senate, if a president is impeached, then he goes on trial in the Senate. So the Senate acts as the courtroom, the judge, the jury, except if it's presidential impeachment. Because remember, this can be for any like public official. Like, it could be governors, senators, which there have been many governors, senators who have been impeached, but today we are just talking about presidential impeachment.
So impeachment just means you're going to trial.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. To the beginning. I feel like it's like several have been impeached.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, we'll get into it, but yeah, it's like, because you can't just, like, sue the president, or, like, you can't just have a court, you can't hold a trial for the president for anything that he does, you know, like, oh, I don't like this law, like, the Senate's gonna vote, should we remove you? Like, first, it has to be in the House, like, did the president violate the Constitution? So they're the ones that determine, like, are there enough, is there reason to prove that, like, he violated he abused his power, violated the Constitution, yada, yada, yada. And then if they all agree, then they're like, okay, let's hold a trial. But then if they didn't have the House impeachment, like, then the Senate could just always be like, we don't like you, like, we're removing you, you know?
Oh, I see.
So but that's why they have to clear it, go to the House first.
It seems like a middleman to me. And then...
Yeah, pretty much.
You have... So then, depending on the trial ruling, then you have your consequences. So...
Yeah,
exactly. In the case of Trump, did he just get impeached, but then nothing happened in the trial? So that's why nothing's happened?
Yeah, so President Trump was impeached twice. Spoiler alert, we'll talk about other presidents later. But yeah, so he was impeached twice. So that means the House of Representatives voted saying they believe that they wanted to investigate, like, whether he had abused his power on these certain terms. And then it moved to the Senate, but he was acquitted by the Senate. So that means he was found not guilty. He's not removed from office. But a Senate trial conducted, like, twice, and investigated. Okay. Yeah, twice.
Okay.
Yeah, so in a presidential impeachment, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court acts as a judge. And so 2/3 majority of the Senate is required to convict. So if 2/3 of the Senate agrees that the president should be convicted for the offenses, the Senate trial moves to the sentencing phase. And so then they say, like, should he be removed from office? Should he or she be allowed to run for president again? But if if the president is acquitted, then that meaning not found not guilty, then nothing happens. It's just back to daily life. So hopefully that makes a little bit more sense. So in terms of President Bill Clinton, the impeachment vote in the House of Representatives was really defined by partisanship on each side. So that means the Democrats were very loyal to President Clinton, and then obviously, like, the Republicans were, like, very strongly believed that he was guilty. So members of the House were maybe not really considering the evidence and really just kind of sticking to what their party was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Which is normally how that kind of works out.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he's guilty, but
yeah,
that's upsetting to hear. But I guess that's politics.
That's politics. So after nearly 14 hours of debate, on December 19th, 1998, the House of Representatives impeaches President Bill Clinton. So they approved 2 articles of impeachment. So remember, the Star report came in with 11, but only 2 articles are approved. Those articles are lying under oath to a federal grand jury and obstructing justice. So that's a big deal. And so then the impeachment case turns over to the Senate, and then there is a Senate trial. So the Senate trial began on January 7th, 1999, and it lasted 4 weeks. And Chief Justice William Rehnquist was the one who presided over the trial because he is the Chief Justice. He was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at the time. So the prosecutors, which means, like, the people who were against President, or who thought that President Clinton was guilty. The prosecutors argued that President Clinton had lied under oath when he denied touching Lewinsky in a sexual way, and that he obstructed justice by encouraging her to deny their affair. So he allegedly helped hide subpoenaed gifts that he had given her. And then he allegedly got a friend to find her a job outside of the White House. And then, had other staff members lie under oath. So this was their argument.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And then the White House...
While the trial was going on, he had people help hide gifts. And then
I mean, that's what the prosecutor is saying. So.
Oh.
Whether or not.
But wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're saying. The evidence shows that. But then the White House is saying, you know, the White House offers the Senate a comprehensive defense of the president's actions based on facts. Like, they just wanted to. They targeted on those facts, and then they didn't really talk about the Constitution that much, or like get into any political arguments. They were kind of just like, they poked holes in the evidence that was gathered by the Starr report, and they were just saying like, hey, none of this is true. And then again, lots of legal definitions about everything about. At one point, President Clinton was arguing over like what the definition of is, like IS, like that's how nitty gritty, like they really got into the definitions of every single word that they could, and every single like act. On February 12th, the Senate voted to acquit President Clinton on both charges. So they needed 67 votes to convict him, but only 45 senators voted to convict the president on perjury charge, and 50 voted to convict him on the obstruction of justice charge. So he's acquitted. He's found not guilty.
He's found not guilty? Yeah,
You also have to remember that at this time, the Senate is majority Democrat. So.
This is crazy. What? Wow. I'm not kidding. I never knew about this. People are going to be like, oh my gosh, how does she not know about. Like, sorry. I don't know. I've studied science in school. I didn't pay attention to this. Yeah. But wow, that's why he's clearly guilty. I don't understand how that didn't.
Yeah.
He and got it's acquitted. Like. What's the point? That's like, again, like, what's the point?
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I think. I know we're trying to be unbiased, but just one quick little thing. Like, partisanship really can be an issue. Obviously, like, when our Constitution mapped out how impeachment works, it's not really just if people are just voting based on party lines. So, anyway.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah.
So after the trial concludes, President Clinton says he's profoundly sorry for the burden his behavior imposed on Congress and the American people. And so Tom Daschle is the former Democratic Senate Majority Leader. So he was the Senate Majority Leader during the Clinton impeachment trial, right? So obviously he's like trying to support the president. But this is what he's quoted saying immediately after the trial. He said, "I believe it would be a mistake to read this as any kind of exoneration. It wasn't. In fact, I think this whole process, to a certain extent, has been a level of punishment that was commensurate with the failures of the president to act appropriately." So basically, he's saying like, just because he was acquitted doesn't mean he's exonerated, doesn't mean that he's not guilty. And he's saying that this whole trial was like punishment for the actions of the president. Whether you agree with that or not, up to you. But surprisingly, this is what I was most surprised about in my research, was that opinion polls showed that the American public, overwhelmingly believed Clinton lied under oath and obstructed justice, yet they didn't want him removed for office from it. And actually, as the impeachment process unfolded, Clinton's rating in public opinion polls were at an all-time high. They were like hovering close to 70%. So his ratings were the highest during this impeachment trial. Most Americans gave President Clinton low marks for character and honesty, but they gave him high marks for performance, and so they didn't want him removed. They said that a lot of people thought that many Republicans, like, they viewed them as attackers, mean-spirited extremists that were willing to use personal scandal for, like, partisan goals, like, in order to benefit their own party. But in the end, voters were happy with Clinton's handling of the White House, the economy, and most matters of public life. And another surprising fact is that Hillary Clinton's public opinion ratings actually exceeded the president's at this time, in large measure because of her dignified demeanor during these personal times. This lifted her popularity to among the highest ever for a first lady at that time. So a lot of people really liked, you know, she did stick by the side of President Clinton and was very dignified during the whole trial. Paula Jones, when asked about, remember, she was the woman who accused the president of sexual misconduct and had sued him over it. She was quoted after the trial saying, "I'm not happy, you know, for sure. I just expected it because he gets away with everything," unquote. And then Linda Tripp was also quoted saying, "Did I want this behavior exposed? Absolutely. I was outraged. And I'm not sure whether fear motivated me more or outrage, anger at the callous abuse of this girl," unquote. President Clinton, yeah, though he did fine in the polls, people still regard him as, like, people think, you know, obviously this impeachment trial is remembered, but, like, it didn't ruin his presidency. But Monica Lewinsky, on the other hand, it really influenced her entire future. So I do have some quotes from Lewinsky. So later she would write for Vanity Fair saying, quote, "I became a social representation, a social canvas on which anybody could project their confusion about women, sex, infidelity, politics, and body issues," unquote. So I think now, okay, so now it's 2022, you know, we are in the midst of the Me Too movement, and recently we have started to reflect and learn more about what the definition of consent is. What is consent? In 1998, views around consent were very different. You know, this was, what, 24 years ago? So back then, a lot of liberals and feminists were supporting President Clinton rather than supporting Monica Lewinsky. And, like, even feminists were saying that, you know, the affair between the president and Lewinsky was consensual. And of course, like, the media was portraying Lewinsky as promiscuous woman who was, like, trying to grab for power, I guess. But yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? A lot of people, like, joked, like, just made jokes about her and at her cost. And, like,
I'm sure.
Yeah, like, just the amount of
that rap song. It's 2020. It's in the 2020s. Yeah. There's a rap song that.
Yeah. And so when the Me Too movement began in 2017, really, Monica Lewinsky kind of came back into the public eye again to talk about her story once again and kind of compare, like, what the discussion was on consent in 1998 versus now. A lot of people, like, now she argues, well, let's just say today, God, how do I be non-biased? So I think it's important for everyone to consider the fact that at the time of this affair, Monica was 22 years old. She is an unpaid intern, and she's working for the leader of the free world. So I think it's important to remember that the president was the one who had the responsibility not to pursue a relationship with her. The fact that he did anyways can be seen as an abuse of anyone's power. And so you have to think, like, what is that consensual? Just with, like, focusing on the power dynamic. Because really the president is the one who has all the power in the relationship. Like, I think that's, I don't know if that was unbiased.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. No, that's not, it's not biased at all. No, but I agree, because I think today when we talk about consent, there's an understanding that there's a power dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to say invisible, but not... There's power dynamics in works... Well, even at this time, though, I don't even want to say now, because I was watching an episode about, like, when sexual harassment cases were being taken to trial, and they acknowledged that in the workforce, especially when bosses... proposition young female employees, there's an imbalance of power there. So yeah. I don't think that that's biased to say.
I don't think you can deny that there is an imbalance of power. And also, again, as a reminder, while President Clinton is pursuing this affair with his 22-year-old intern, he is also being sued for sexual misconduct. So I guess that wraps up the impeachment trial. So to conclude the episode, how many U.S. presidents have been impeached? The answer is 3. So Andrew Johnson was impeached in 1868. And then Bill Clinton, obviously, in 1998. And then President Donald Trump was impeached in 2019 and 2021. So he was the first president to be impeached twice. Then Richard Nixon was going to be impeached. It was like it was imminent. However, he resigned. He stepped down from power before he could be impeached in regards to the Watergate scandal. So Richard Nixon was not impeached. He resigned before he could be impeached. That's that. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I hope you guys learned something about, at least I hope everyone is a little bit more understanding of what impeachment means, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of confusion around how that process works.
Yes. Thank you, Nat. I really enjoyed this episode. I've never... Yay.
Thank you.
It's a blank space for me. I've never really looked into politics and the history of our president. So I really enjoyed this.
Yay. Thank you. All right. We will see you guys in the next episode.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye. Bye.
This has been an episode of How Did We Not Know That?
If you liked it, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You can also follow us on all social media at HDWNKT and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Also, check out our website at hdwnkt.com to find all of our show notes and study guides for each episode.
You can help us improve the quality of the podcast by becoming a history hero through our Patreon.
Thank you for listening, and see you guys next week.